to glow, she's building something. A sweet little empire, she's doing fine. Working on her own terms, life by design. Living happy, no drama, it's your life. Just start, mama, she makes things happen. She's a mompreneur, a life better, bag getter. She wants something more, she's got that messy bun. Get stuff done, hustle in her heart. Put on your lip gloss, girl boss. Jen's got you, girl, just start. TheCurlGirl.com, an independent stylist podcast.
Imagine what it would feel like if you really ran your business instead of letting your business run you. First, I want you to take a deep breath and acknowledge how far you've already come. You are brave, smart, and powerful. I'm Jen, and I'd love to link arms with you and hand you the resources that will help you get to the next level, the level where you truly step into your power and make your dream business a reality. I've created for you what I wish had been there for me, the ultimate owner's manual to running an abundant and profitable business that will provide you the money and the energy to live, not just survive, the tools to run your salon suite or booth rental business that will honor your bank account and your well-being. It's time to say hello to pricing for profit and goodbye to what drains you and enjoy being part of the biggest shift this industry has ever seen. Just because you're independent doesn't mean you're alone. Head to shampoosociety.com and get instant access to Salon Suite University today and claim your best life. Guys, I have such a treat for you today. My friend Krista Levitt, curl specialist, is with me. The fact that this wasn't one of like the very first episodes I did is crazy, but we're both busy. We both have businesses and kids and we've talked about it and we're finally making it happen. So welcome, Krista.
Thanks, Jen. I'm so excited to be here.
It only took 2 years to
probably
to carve out the time.
You know, life happened, you know, COVID, moving, you moving a couple times, you know, this life happened.
Is downplays herself a lot. And notice how she said moving a couple times. She has moved and rebuilt her business 4 times in the past how many years?
I think seven, eight years.
She's moved and rebuilt her business for, so that's basically like every 2.5 years you're moving, mm-hmm. You're rebuilding within a few months to a fully booked clientele with a wait list. You just moved again. How many people are on your wait list right now?
I think I just checked this week, like 335 people maybe on the wait list.
That's people are listening to this now going, wait, what? Like, that's a huge problem for stylists and it can actually even prevent people from moving because they're like, I don't know how to rebuild. Now, Krista and I have known each other, 10 years?
I think so.
Going on.
Yes.
Close to 10 years.
We
kind of came up together doing curly hair when it wasn't just I'm literally looking at the computer because I have my video off and you have your song looking at you.
I don't know how to turn it off.
So we started, no, you can leave it on. It's fine. We started doing curly hair right around the same time. And You're in Canada, I'm in Florida. And we met on Facebook of all places. Mm-hmm. There were a group of us curly stylists. Like I said, when it wasn't the norm,
it was grassroots, baby. It was like, what, you love working only with curls? Is that even possible? Are we allowed to do that? Like, you know, you like it too? Okay, all right, you know, maybe we can like give each other some tips, you know, like literally grassroots. Like,
it was, you know how I found that group? Cassie Carnahan. Like, I found her on Facebook somehow and we were just DMing and I was just like word vomiting, like, it's so nice to find somebody. And she's like, maybe you would like this group, like, leave me alone. And I joined the group and I literally was like, oh my gosh, I felt like I had a break room or like a back room of people that actually understood what I was doing. And it was, I had felt really alone for a long time. And it was just so nice to have people that like completely understood, because it's so different. Curly hair,
the business is so different. And anybody that tells you it's not, I don't think they truly understand it.
Oh no, they don't. 100%. They have no idea. Yeah. No idea. They can't even fathom how it would be different. You know, hair is hair, but it's not. The whole, everything about it, you know, you're from the way that you set up your services to the length of your services, to how the services are performed, to the aftercare, you know, the follow-up, you know, it's not just a haircut with curly hair. It never has and never will be for a curl, somebody who specializes in curls.
No, I mean, how many mm-hmm. clients do you have in your chair? Like roughly, what is it? At least probably 30%. Do you think that's safe to say that have had some kind of traumatic experience in their past related to their hair?
Oh, I think the number is more like 85 to 90% of people having traumatic experiences. I find I get the clients that come to visit in my chair have been to many other places, many other, even other curl specialist places, and just haven't quite found the help that they needed or the understanding. And I find I get sometimes you talk about like red flags. And I find I do get
never.
I get a, you know, but I am able to help those people. I have the patience for it. So that I get a lot of more complicated people who've had the trauma. I've got, you know, one client who's cut her own hair for the past 18 years because she had such a traumatic experience, when she was 18. And so for 18 years after that, she cut her own hair because she could not trust, another single stylist to cut her hair. So, traumatic cases.
That's the thing people don't understand with things that are red flags in the typical hair world don't necessarily translate to the curly hair clientele. And the only way that I can explain this, if you're listening to this going, what on earth do you mean? And I have to really quickly say it, or I'll start to get upset from my own PTSD, like trauma. I'm terrified to go to the doctor. I hate it. It freaks me out. I will do it, avoid it, like to my own detriment. Sometimes I just, and I am probably what they would consider like a red flag client in so many ways, because I'm like, hurry up, do this, do that. Like, I just need to get through and get out. Mm-hmm. And I'm not difficult. I don't think I'm more important than anybody else, anything, but I'm literally trying to get through it without having a panic attack. You know, I'm the kind of person, like I'll have to take half a Xanax to literally just go to the doctor for a cold. Like, that's how bad it is. And it's gotten worse with age. But that's the thing, when people come to you and they've had so many bad experiences and all they want is a haircut, and they've been made to feel like high maintenance by people that just don't know how to cut their hair, that's a different kind of experience that most people have never had, but is very, very common in the curly community, right?
100%. Yeah. So that's the thing. Like when you're doing all your, your satirical or satirical, whatever that word is, and the red flag clients, I'm like, I get that. I get those coming from, you know, traditional stylists, but a lot, like a number of them are like, oh, I do actually have those kind of clients. I'm okay with that, because I feel like I'm that missing link to that, to help them start to heal from some of those experiences and why they became a red flag client, 100%. You know, first, right?
So I made one a while ago, a video about that, of like, these are red flags that are not red flags for curly hair specialists. And the irony that I don't make a lot of curl content, it's not my main focus, but people really liked that, because it's not fair to assume, you know, that somebody's high maintenance when they just want a haircut. Or how many people have you had that have told you, I've never left a salon, this is the first time I'm leaving a salon where I don't feel like I have to go home and wash my hair and restyle it?
That's crazy. I would say, I'm not going to say 100%, because that wouldn't be true, but again, the same, like 85, 90% of people saying like, I can't believe that I'm leaving the salon happy with my hair. And I, I don't have to go home and rewash it. And I would say, you know, the majority of clients have said over the years, and it's really, it can hurt a hairstylist's ego to hear that your client went around the corner and put their hair in a ponytail or put a hat on. But it's just that the reason that that's happening is that there is no curl training in hair school. There's none. And that's the only reason why these clients are leaving, not from a hairstylist not happy with their hair, because the hairstylist hasn't had the training. Right.
So even just the awareness that it's a whole different ball game. And
yeah,
I know that we got in school, it's all the same, hair is hair. And that's the most
right.
toxic, ridiculous thing that you could ever, like my Morgan's in hair school right now, depending on when you're listening to this. And I even told her when she started, anything they tell you about curly hair, come back and we'll talk about, because it's probably not only wrong, but steering you in a terribly wrong direction. They're getting better. I've noticed with her, they're getting better. Some of the stuff she tells me, I'm like, that's not completely terrible. It's not what I would say, but
right.
Tell me this, as somebody who is in the industry, and you are too, and we sell education to hairstylists, how much should be in school versus how much should they seek out after school for like extra education? What do you think about that?
I think equally the same as what they're getting now in hair school, and what they're seeking out extra should be the exact same for curly hair. So the curriculum in hair school should have at least, you know, we know that well over 65% of the population has natural texture in their hair.
Yep.
And if that client is walking in saying, I want to leave this salon with my wearing my natural texture, a lot of hairstylists miss that cue to go, oh, they want to leave with their hair curly. I need to style it curly. The problem is I wasn't trained how to style it curly. So I'm just going to blow it out and it'll look fantastic. But the problem is the client doesn't want that. And they're not going to wear their hair like that. They'll never be able to get their hair the way you've done it when they leave. And so you're doing them a disservice by not having that education under your belt, knowing how to style it. So you should have been taught in hair school. You know, about curly hair styling and cutting, and that it is different than straight hair, you know, doing straight hair. And then you should also equally seek out that much education. You know, if you're going for balayage and root melt training and master cutting classes, you should also be seeking out 50% as equal, you know, 50-50 in the curly hair world, because it's so important.
Louisiana, the state of Louisiana passed something not too long ago that I guess they have a practical. In Florida, we don't have a practical. You just go take a test on the computer. I feel honestly, to me, when I hear what some states' practicals are, it doesn't matter because they're doing like completely outdated, ridiculous stuff. So whatever. Mm. But in Louisiana, they added something where they want you to do a curly haircut. Or at least show that you know
something. I think I saw that.
And to me, that's progress. That's a step forward. I'd 100%. Love to see how good the education is. I'd love to see where they're getting their curl right. models, like all of that.
Yes. But
in some way, it's a step forward. It's progress.
Yeah.
You know, it's addressing that it's different.
The step in the right direction. That's right. It's acknowledgement. So part of like in our journey and self-awareness and self-growth, you know, we know that just becoming aware that there is a problem or that you, you know, might have an area that you need to work on, just becoming aware that it's an issue is like half the battle to actually solving that problem, or, you know, having that self growth, you know, whatever experience that you need to become a better person. The same awareness is everything. So just being acknowledging and being aware that, you know, you are lacking in education, you know, there is a percentage of your client population that you are not serving to their best, no, not to your best ability, mostly because you don't have the training, but to their benefit, you know, and being aware and acknowledging it is a first step to then seeking help, right? Like,
and we were just talking about this. I have two things to say. And I'm going to say the first one, so I don't forget. And then we'll swing back to that, which is ego. We both niched down hard It was all we did. We only took clients with curly hair. Pretty sure you did the same thing I did. I only took clients that wanted to wear their hair in its natural state because I wasn't, you know, it just made more sense.
We weren't playing. We weren't playing.
No. But what now with all of the push, I still have my TikTok microphone on. With all of the push for understanding curly hair, having it in hair school, just like in general, like the industry is kind of just waking up to it. Mm-hmm. Is it a niche? Should it just be a niche? Like, it's a weird, I'm not even sure how to ask it, but like,
yeah, I get where you're going. You know I saying? Get where you're going. Yeah. I know what you're saying. I feel like it became a niche out of necessity,
okay,
but it shouldn't need to stay a niche. It became a niche because, you know, for me, I saw a percentage of clients who weren't being served in a traditional salon. And because there's a ton of traditional salons and there's only one of me, I thought to serve the most amount of curly hair clients, to help the most amount of curly hair people I possibly can, I need to just only do curls because nobody else is giving them this type of service. They can't get it elsewhere. So I have to just do curls. I would love to see someday that every stylist has the exact, you know, same amount of curl training as they do, you know, traditional training. I would love to see that. We're a long way from that because there's not even curl training in school, except for maybe in the state of Louisiana. So we are many years away from not having to niche, but the same as different markets. So somebody being a balayage specialist, a blonde specialist, a hair loss specialist, I think they'll always be specialists like doctors. Right. They'll always be like a general practicing doctor and then the specialist doctor. The specialist is somebody you go to when you can't get the level of service you need from your general practitioner. You know, you ask, can I see a specialist? But in the hair world, you can just go and see the specialist. You don't need to ask permission. You can just go. But yeah, I would love to see that, you know, every hairdresser had equal amount of training. The kind of the cool thing is that people choose to niche because they're passionate about something. And that's really who you want doing your hair. Like I wasn't passionate about doing color. I really hated doing color. I hated how my eye didn't see color the same way you see color. I hate how different lighting changes how the color looks. Like it's just too unpredictable for me. And people would laugh because they think curly hair is unpredictable, but I think curly hair is a lot more predictable than hair color. So anyway, for me, color was not my passion. And I just said to my clients at the time, you know what? I'm just going to start doing curls now. I'm really passionate about it. I feel I can make the most impact in somebody's life, lifelong impact by teaching them how to wear their natural texture, and empowering them with this knowledge so that someday they're going to be able to style their hair better than I can. And that's a great day of success for me when they can style their hair better than I can. And I've given them the tools to do that. So
what I'm hearing you say is it can be both. It can be a niche. If you're really passionate about just cutting, even just coloring, just anything with curls. But if you have the level of awareness that curly hair is different, you could at least you could go as far with it as you want, but at the very minimum, have the level of awareness to know what level of service that you can give to a curly. And if it doesn't fall under what you feel comfortable doing an amazing job at, you could say, maybe I'm not the stylist for you.
That's right.
I'm going to send you to so-and-so. I can still do your color. They can do your cut. Just to have that awareness of how well that you can serve your curly clients. And it doesn't mean if you don't want to drill down on that, it doesn't mean you're less than as a stylist. It doesn't mean that you don't know what you're doing. It just maybe that's not what's the best thing for you.
Totally. 100%. We all in the industry, we all have certain things we love to do more than others. And I think that might play into your ego piece of the puzzle. Like, let's be honest. with ourselves and our clients, that there's some things that, you know, are part of our trade that we don't love doing. And wouldn't it benefit the client more for them to be having a service done by somebody who's passionate about it? Like, I would be doing a disservice doing your color because I don't want to do it. I'm not passionate about it. I like hate every minute of it. It's just not my thing. And I'm okay with saying,
go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, like, I'm okay with saying, listen, I'm not passionate about color, but I know so-and-so at that salon is the most passionate person I know. That's who you want doing that service. I think it is more difficult for clients to have to like jump from business to business. It'd be great if I could have a passionate colorist in the same room as me doing, you know, the cutting and the styling. Right now that's not happening, but you know, maybe someday that would be the ultimate for me, is that I could service a client all in one spot. But for now, doing like going to a specialist, again, they're going to go to the general doctor for, you know, I've got a cold, I need some medication. But if they have a bump on their head that they have to see the plastic surgeon for, they're going to be okay with seeing the plastic surgeon because they know they're going to get the best care versus having the doctor do it in the doctor's office. You don't want that. Right. You want the plastic surgeon doing it. So it's the same idea. But I think, yeah, I think there needs to be a lot more, again, you're right, the awareness piece and the honesty, being honest with yourself and honest with your client. There's nothing wrong about being honest. You know, I don't know where it came that we had to pretend that we know it all and we can do everything the very best, the same as, you know, when people say, oh, you know, you don't need to go see curl specialists. I know how to do curly hair. You know very well, you haven't had the same training as a curl specialist. And you also know that probably your client's going to figure that out too. So why pretend? Why not just admit, I haven't had intensive curl training. You know, either I'm open to doing it or I'm not open to doing it. Your choice. You get to choose, but don't pretend that you can do exactly that somebody that has spent years mastering and training to do when you haven't taken that training. And that's the ego part that drives me a little bit batty.
And it's like, I think a lot of like, it's the ego part and people don't even realize it's that because people wouldn't necessarily say the same thing or react the same way if they don't know how to do like vivid colors. It would be very easy to be like, oh, go to so-and-so. They're a vivid specialist. Go to them. Mm-hmm. Or somebody that wanted extensions and the person, your stylist doesn't do extensions, and they say, go to so-and-so, they do extensions. Or having the awareness, I'm having a lot of people ask this, I'm going to not only learn how to do it, but I'm going to learn how to do it as well as I do the other things that I'm known for. And
yes,
why is that different with curly hair than it is with any other niche in our industry? There need to be more conversations like this about it. I see a lot of kind of combative stuff online. And we're guilty of it. I'm talking us as curl specialists in general, we're guilty of it, but I see where people in our niche can really get annoyed when we see other people that we know are not using the things that we know are best. And I know how obnoxious this sounds coming out of my mouth right now. I'm just going to say it for a fact. We hear somebody saying I saw something a while ago. I do not remember it was not anybody I had heard of, but the person had a large following. The internet's crazy. Mm-hmm. You'll find mm-hmm. stylists. They've got hundreds of thousands of followers and you've never heard of it. It just shows how big our world is. But there was a stylist that was teaching a curly hair class. And I saw other curl specialists were like jumping in on the conversation and they're like, you're not teaching. Right. You're not like, it was combative. I don't know how else to say it. And to somebody that's I'm looking at it from both perspectives, because I've kind of got a foot in both worlds. And I'm like, I could see how people that aren't in the curl world would look at that and be like, who the do you think you are? Like, why, mm-hmm. like, what do you know that this person doesn't? This person's an established person that's been educating, whatever. But then what we know as curly stylists, and you're like, oh my gosh, if you're telling them to do this or to that, do that, and you've got a razor out and you're loading the hair up with silicone. And I just said so many fighting words right now, yes. You know,
yes.
It can be very hard to decipher that. And we can look like we're snobs.
That's right. Oh, 100%. 100%. I can see, like you say, coming from it at both sides. I feel like I've spent most of like the last year and a half or so trying to like dismantle that whole piece from my way of thinking and be more open to learning about a razor, because maybe there's a client who wants that look and I can't yes. get it with scissors. So my eyes are opening more. I really truly believe that if you're going to be a specialist in anything, and let's pick obviously curly hair because that's what we're talking about today, but if you want to be a specialist, you can't just take one or two classes and say that you're a specialist. You need to take all the classes. You need to keep continually educating yourself, because there's a little something you're going to pick up in each class that you take that's going to help your client get the result that they want for their hair. Like, I know that if a client wants a specific result, I might not be able to get it just with doing the Diva Cut. I'm going to have to implement other elements of training from different classes that I've taken to get them where they want to go with their haircut or their hairstyling. You know, I might towel dry the hair before I put product in because a customer wants that result. Is it what something that I would want for my hair? Maybe not, but we have to get outside of our own heads, maybe our own ego, and do what the client wants. You know, I have clients that bring me pictures of haircuts that have holes in them. And I can see these holes because of some of the training, like the Head Shape Matters training that I've taken.
Yes.
And I'm in my head, I'm like, I'm screaming inside my head going, oh my God, you don't want me to cut a hole in your hair. But I have to like carefully go over this haircut with them. And what do you love about this haircut? And, you know, do you notice that there's like a little bit of a gap there? Do you like that? And then I have to purposely and intentionally cut a hole in their haircut because that's what they want. Like, but it may not be something I want, but I have had to step outside my own wants and likes and my own ego and do what's best for the client and what they desire. And I think part of that comes from taking all sorts of maybe carving and the slicing and the doing the razor. And, you know, those are things that, you know, in the curly world might be considered a bit taboo because, you know, we've been trained to just use scissors, you know, and no carving and slicing and whatever. But I think
I came in that group of dry cutters. Everybody in there was a dry diva curl trained dry cutter. And I was a wee dad, and the admin of the group actually said to me, be careful if you tell people that you're a wet cutter, because I don't remember the exact words. And I was like, what the f-? I had no idea, because I was only coming from We Dad, they didn't have any kind of like support community. Like that wasn't their brand. I don't think it is. And I never said anything about how I cut. I let my work speak for itself and kind of, you know, people started to see my stuff and like it. And then one day I remember who it was said something like about wet cutting. And I'm like, do you like this? I posted and people were like, yeah, I like it. I'm like, I cut the shit out of that. Wet. I thinned it out. There was a pound of hair on the floor because I cut her. I remember the exact picture it was too. I had this girl come in and she was super cool. And I said, look, I think you're going to like the wet cut where I thin it out. Can I do two cuts on you? Can I do a dry cut? And then you can come back like in a week or two and I'll recut it. And thankfully she said yes, because she's amazing. And
yeah,
I did the dry cut and she came back and she was like, it was okay, but I wasn't like, it didn't change my life. And then I thinned it out and did it the We Dad way. And she loved it for like 2 years. We did that. And then one day we just started dry cutting and that was what worked. But, and I remember posting about it and one of our friends said, so I forget exactly what she said, but when I explained it, she came back and was totally cool and was like, oh my God, I like never would have thought about it like that. Like that's whatever, because she probably didn't have clients with that kind of hair.
Right.
You know, and those are the whole reason I'm telling this story is one, because I have rabid ADD, and two,
We could be on here all day, Jen, and you and me.
So many stories. But that kind of exchange where it was, I was finally kind of like dropping the mic and I'm like, look, I built my whole career on doing it this way. I went backwards or flipped it, then started dry cutting. But the people that were in our core group of peers were checking their egos at the door and like, yes. Oh, that's cool. I see that, you know, and that's
yes.
not always how it goes, not only in You're our right. industry, but like in any industry, there's,
that's right.
You gotta have some amount of ego and to be successful. Yes. And then people mix up ego with, that's the thing I wanted to circle back to. Like,
yes.
Let's talk about that. Like tell me what mm-hmm. you said when I was like, you gotta have ego, but then you can't have too much.
Oh, so you gotta have enough ego that you, you know, you feel confident in your ability. You know, your work is good. You know, you give 162% when you're working. But you need to be humble enough to be able to put yourself in your client's shoes and give your client what they want and not what you want them to have. Because I feel that traditional, and I call traditional hairstyling, I don't know what to call it. It's what I did before I started doing only curly hair. But in traditional hairstyling, you are putting the client's hair in a certain place. It's not, you're not cutting it necessarily so it lives in the place that the client, that it does when the client does their hair. You're like Vidal Sassoon, let's say you're cutting it into position. The problem is that that may not be what the client can attain at home or even what they truly want. It's going to look great when they leave the salon and it will be a bang on technically amazing haircut, but is it something the client can maintain? Is it something that they want? You know? And I think there's a certain point of, again, you just being humble enough, having enough ego to be confident, but enough humility to put yourself at the same level as your client, not above.
It's hard.
If that makes sense.
It's hard to do it. I won't, like everything that you're just saying, and I know you know that too, but that's something you have to consciously work on for a while, I think, for most mm-hmm. people, until that mm-hmm. becomes your natural way of existing with your clients.
Yes.
There's a lot yes. of self-awareness that goes into that. And
yes.
that's where I fall on the side of, I'm definitely pro niche for this. I mean, mm-hmm. I want everyone to know about curls for sure. But mm-hmm. to me, so much of how I could help people was because I had people break down in my chair and tell me their mother told them their hair was ugly, or I don't know where you get mm-hmm. that hair, or they yes. had to straighten their hair to go to work because they, or like, especially to a job interview, because they felt like they wouldn't yes. get hired, that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's
that their best hair was never their own hair. Their best hair was straightened, you know, for special occasions, for job interviews. They could never truly be themselves at all times. It's there was awful. Always places where curls weren't maybe acceptable, which is total bullshit. But, you know, that's what the industry and what society has done and what a curl specialist is trying to undo. I'm trying to tell clients your best hair for your most special occasions needs to be your curly hair, because that's the way, you know, that it's okay that it's your curly hair. It doesn't have to be. You want to wear it straight. You want to do what you want, but it's okay to wear your own hair to your most special and important things, you know.
I would get it.
And giving them the confidence.
Brides, mm-hmm. like my clients, when they were talking about getting married, how should I wear my hair? I'm like, I mean, I know this was like the joke analogy I always had. Like, if you're one of those people like you always wear your hair curly. The few times mm-hmm. I've seen pictures of you with your hair straight, it's like looking at a dog walking on its hind legs.
Yeah,
it's just weird. Like, wait, that's weird. That doesn't, and it's pretty, but it does to me. Like when I've seen picture, like old ones that you posted, I'm like, it doesn't even register to me right away that it's you. And that's, I'm like, do you really want your wedding pictures like to look like that? I mean, do whatever you want. But when that was always my response when people were like, how should I wear
your hair curly? Yeah. If you wear your hair curly every day, why for your wedding would you want it straight? I don't get it.
Shellac it with all the hairspray that I would tell you not to normally use if you're worried that
Right. I think that's the thing. They're worried it'll frizz. Most of that it'll frizz, right? But there's things that we can do now in the knowledge that we know in our styling and our products that we use that can make it not do that. And it can be amazing hair on your wedding day. So anyway, we're going down another rabbit hole, aren't we?
I knew this before we started. This is going to have to be a series. It's going to have to be, because I know people want to hear these kinds of conversations, and I want to bring some of the gang into it too, for sure. Like in on these conversations, because they're just, I don't know. It's listen to my podcast where there's just pauses and dead air of me thinking.
But there's you could bring a level of awareness to your audience, right? Because you have a lot of people listening that don't know anything really about the curly hair world, or that there's people who specialize in curls, you know, like that can be a totally new concept. I think just bringing a level of awareness, and the biggest thing to take away is that curly hair is different, needs to be treated differently than all the ways that you learned to treat straight hair. That's just,
it's 100%. And I love that you say traditional, because I always say like normal or regular, like as I'm saying, I'm like, this isn't right, but I never know what to say. So I'm going to say traditional. That makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. And then another conversation, this is totally another rabbit hole conversation, and I would love to bring in a few more people for this conversation, especially Andy. I think that'll be a phenomenal conversation.
Yeah.
We're both laughing because Andy's like the ingredient master. Silicone. There's so much talk about silicone and not silicone and water soluble silicones. And I think there is no right answer. I really don't. Yeah. And Andy and I will fight, and that's fine. Yeah. That's totally fine. Because Andy's coming. We're talking about Andy Hughes, by the way, what's her Instagram? Corruption
Studio, I think. Hair Studio or Corruption Studio?
I've shared her stuff before, but her name is Andy, AndeeHoos. And if you just search that and like Corruption Hair Studio, it'll come up. She's very, very ingredient conscious. And that is her first and really like only concern. Like it's 100% natural, organic. And I might even be saying that wrong, but she's like, I care more about that than if your hair stays exactly how you want it to, because I want only the safest, most natural ingredients. That's 100% fine. That's what some people want. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
Then I had clients that were like, I don't care if you pour gasoline on my head. If my hair looks pretty and it stays, like that's what I'm going to do. And understanding and just being aware of all of those different, I hate to say agenda, because that makes it sound like it's negative when it's not, but what's the word I'm looking for? Like points of view.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many different nuances maybe to working with curly hair, and so many different, not chapters, but like there's so many different element is the word, maybe elements to working with curly hair. And you can, and there's a different level of awareness each client has. So some clients are going to sit in your chair and they have been on Instagram and YouTube and TikTok. They've done all the tips and the tricks. They're going to know things that you don't even know existed, because they are like, they are way down the rabbit hole on, trying to figure out their curly hair. So you need to be as knowledgeable as you can be, but I'll never know all there is to know about everything. Because guess what? I'm a mom. I have 3 kids. 2 are special needs. Like I run, I have the salon. I have online courses for consumers, for hairstylists. I do online coaching, and I have an online store where I physically ship products all over Canada.
At curlspecialist.com, you can get her online education. Go ahead.
Yes. Right. Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Jen, for the plug. But yeah, like I have so many different things. Like I just don't have time. But what I can do is give you a really solid foundation on, curly hair, styling, technique plus product. You know, a lot of people think you just need a good curly cut or you just need good product. No, how you use that product is just as important as what type of product you use or what, you know, cut you have. I can make a really crappy haircut look good if I can style it, you know, with the right techniques, right? I can make drugstore product look just as good as professional product if I use the right techniques and I understand the hair. So,
and then for some people, they can continue to use those drugstore products and they'll never have a problem. And then other people use them once and their hair feels gross and it, you know what I mean? Like it's,
yeah,
that's the thing when you are in it, like, I shouldn't even say weeks, I'm not anymore, but when you're in it, like you are, you know, all those little nuances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that really, just like any other technique as a stylist that you go to master, you know, you educate yourself in, it takes years and years of experience and knowledge and reading and education to have that level. Do you have to have all that information to do a good job with curly hair? No, but you definitely need the tools, the foundational knowledge to do your very best for the client that's in your chair. If you have a client in your chair who says, my hair is curly, I wear it curly every day, that needs to be your level of awareness, like cue to be like, oh, I should probably switch how I cut and how I style for this client, because they just told me that I can see they have curly hair and they wear it curly every day. You know, I think our job as stylists is to help our clients love their hair. And if for a client, loving their hair means, you know, that they have naturally curly hair and they want to wear it straight, then that's what you do. But if they're a client who has curly hair and wants to love it curly, then you need to have the education to be able to help them love their hair as it is and as they want to wear it. That's really important.
Crystal Levitt, curl specialist. Tell me this.
That's what Molly calls me, my daughter. Does she love a curl specialist? Yes.
Tell me what is on your website right now. If I'm listening to this podcast and I'm like, I want to learn more. I have some curly clients. You don't have cutting out right now, right?
No.
But you have classes that stylists can take so you can learn how to style, learn how to, tell me what they are. What's it about?
Yeah. So I have two courses right now. The first course that I made is called Wave and Curl Foundations. It's like online styling for hairstylists. So you're going to learn the basics on how to care for the different hair types, but you're also going to learn a lot of ins and outs. You're going to learn some basic hair care knowledge. Some things maybe review from the textbook at school, but a lot of things are going to be different. How you style the hair, when you put on product, how much you use, in what steps, when you diffuse, how to use a diffuser. These are all things that were not taught in hair school, or at least when I went in hair school and probably when you did too, Jen. Like I didn't even take my diffuser out of my hair kit from hair school. It didn't even come out because we didn't learn how to use it.
We flew to New York and paid $1,500 for a class. And if we didn't push them to the point where they probably still know my name and hate me, we would not have left with the styling knowledge that we got. It's huge. It matters. And if you don't know it, and this is where I will be very adamant, if you don't know this stuff, the only people that you're going to really serve are people that have already learned this stuff from someone else or already have their hair figured out, like curly clients. This is part of the game. You have to know this. You're doing your clients a huge disservice to not be able to pass this information on to them. They'll tweak it and cherry pick it and use it how they want to, but the aha moments that are packed in what Krista knows are something that I really believe every stylist should have. It's just, it's incredible. Even if you have somebody that's got a little bit of wave in their hair, you could completely offer them something totally different. Light bulb moment after light bulb moment. I don't usually talk about price, but I'm going to, because when I forgot, these are so affordable. How much does it cost?
Oh, I think, well, if you're in the States, American dollars, they'd be like cost of a t-shirt probably. I think in Canadian, I also have a wavy hair course. So the wavy hair course, I think, is 47 Canadian. So it'd be like 30 plus bucks American. And the foundational course, the bigger course, in terms of time commitment, like the bigger course is about 16 hours commitment. of education material in there. And I think it's 111 Canadian or something like that. I haven't looked. It's been, I'm awful. I'm right in the middle of a move and setting up my business for the fourth time. So I haven't been online in a bit, but yeah, it's just over $100 Canadian. So much like under 100 American.
I was gonna say,
like, it will give you, yeah, it'll give you like basically the foundation that every stylist should have learned about styling hair, working with product and working with curly hair. You should have learned those things in hair school. And then the wavy course is specifically to wavy hair and those with like fine and thin hair as well, any curl type, but the techniques and the knowledge in it work for that as well. So, and my goal is to create cutting courses. I actually had everything set and ready to go to do hands-on in-person training for hairstylists that wanted to come work with me. And then COVID hit and I couldn't even film any cutting classes because COVID hit. And then I've been moving since basically spring. So everything is on the back burner for in-person training for now until I get established, but the online courses are always available and I do offer a certificate. So once you've taken the training, I can send you a certificate and you can stick it on your wall and be like, hey, look, I have learned about curls. And if you want to learn how to wear your hair curly, I can teach you. So you really need to be that stylist that can be the authority. Right now I'm coming into a market that doesn't have a lot of curl specialists. But there's a lot of stylists that are threatened by me being here because, you know, their curly clients might be going, there's a curl specialist in town, right? And I would rather those stylists know what I know so they can keep serving their clients. I don't want to take anybody's clients, but they're going to come because they want to learn more about their hair. They want to wear their hair curly. So if you're a stylist, you can keep more clients in your chair and also serve more clients. Word of mouth goes way far with people with curly hair. You know, people with curly hair are always looking for a stylist that knows how to work with curls. You know, they'll stop people on the street and be like, who does your hair? Can I get an appointment with them?
So I have so
you need
many.
To be that stylist.
I was sitting with my friend outside of Starbucks one day and there, my friend and I, three of us were sitting there and my friend Alan was like, to my friend Erica, he's like, that woman is taking pictures of you. She was like sitting in her car taking pictures. And of course, I mean, have you met me? Like I get up and walk over to her car. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what are you doing right now? Why are you taking, you weirdo? And she was like, I'm so sorry. I was taking pictures of her hair because I want to show my stylist. And I was like, thinking like, well, she's never going to come to me now, but whatever. I was like, well, right. I'm her stylist. I can tell you. And then that same woman, friend of mine, came in one day. The salon that I first started at was right when I was doing curly hair, was right next to that Starbucks we would always hang out in. She came, I think, just to say hi to me. And she had, was it her? No, it was another woman to buy something. And she had on her wrist written in pen, curl quencher gel, botanical boots, like whatever it was. And I was like, what is this? And she's like, I saw this woman in Starbucks and I asked her, it was like before everybody had a smartphone and she just wrote it. She was like, go next door. My friend works there. Tell her you want this. And I was like, you have to be kidding me. But like, you do not hear that kind of stuff with traditional hair in the way that you hear it with curly hair. People are looking. I got it. This is a whole nother episode. We have five episodes coming, by the way. You got a into
series,
this
mini series.
To help people 100%.
Yes.
I will never hide the fact I got into this to make money 100%. I have straight thin hair that doesn't really have any curl in it. And I had two little girls to feed and I got my license right when the recession in the States hit. So I needed a way to separate myself and to establish myself as an expert in literally anything. Long story short, some of you have heard my story. I figured out there was nobody doing curls. People needed it. I will still say, if you're somebody that needs to feed your table and you're looking for something, always, always look to this, at least check it out, because you can actually help people, but it's also a really great way to make really great money.
For sure. Yeah. So you think about the amount of time and the amount of, like, just the amount of time and effort as somebody who specializes in curly hair. How hard you've had to seek out information, seek out training. You know, I've traveled, obviously you have too, all over the States, Canada, you know, for training. The amount of time and effort that you put into your education, you should be paid for that too, right? And I think for me, when I created the courses, I took all the training that I've had over the years and I put it in those courses. So I'm saving you a lot of time, really.
What do you charge for a haircut?
Coming up soon, I'm going to be doing hourly, and I was doing hourly wage before. So hourly wage, no tips, everything's built in. Coming up when I reopen again, I'm probably charging about $130 an hour Canadian.
Oh, hour. You saw my face. Hour. I was like, what, an hour? And a typical haircut with you is?
For a new client, it could be 3 to 4 hours of time. So, but I'm giving lifelong knowledge. If that new client never, ever comes back to me, they just learn how to do their hair for life.
And how many people?
So there's a huge amount of value. Right now, like over, I think like 335 or something like that.
She's charging over $100 an hour. How many people on your wait? Say it one more time, Crystal Levitt, specialist. How many people are on your wait list? In the new town that you don't have any name recognition or anything that you just
You know what? I have a little bit of name recognition. I gotta be honest. And that's where that threat comes in, because I want to elaborate just a little bit. Is I came here and I was doing some clients' hair. I started traveling to this town. So this is
your
town.
Hometown?
Not kind of yes and no.
Okay.
So I had a client who moved to this area and was like, I can't find anybody to do my hair like you did in Ontario. I wish you could just come here and cut my hair. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I could. I've got some family that lives out of town. Maybe. Anyway, that's how it kind of came about. It came to the point where I would travel here maybe 2 to 3 times a year to cut hair. And I had got so booked to clients back to back, eight clients a day, 7 days a week. I can't physically do more than that. And I can't be away from my own family that long. So I decided to put on a big giant curl class. And that's where some of the course material comes from, the mini course or the online styling for hairstylists course comes from that session. So I decided to have a giant curl class where we taught everybody the basics on hairstyling. And I had a hairstylist in this town calling the hairstylist association trying to get the event shut down, because who is she? Who's this person? Does she have a license? What is she doing? And basically the association said, like, there's nothing wrong with what she's doing. So I had almost 150 people show up.
I remember when you did
online class. Yes. So the thing is that there is a huge desire for the curly consumer to have this knowledge, and you could be the hairstylist, you know, the authority. You could have this knowledge, giving it to them, and not only serving the clients you already have in your chair, but also serving new clients in a better way for them, right? Because again, a curly client could want to wear their hair straight all the time, and that's cool too. That's up to them. But
there's,
you know, that knowledge is important
to go around.
There's so much. Yes, there's so many curly. Again, over 65% of the population has natural texture. Why are we straightening like 90%? You know what I mean? In the salon, why are we doing that? You know, because you're going to have a person who wants to wear their hair curly is going to be a lot happier leaving curly and looking good curly, right? And they're going to tell 10 people.
Oh, so, yeah. 100%.
Okay. Then the market is there. The money is there. You know,
the opportunity to make it
opportunity
a impact. And like, it's just
the curly world is your oyster.
Yes. All right. I'm going to wrap it up because I could talk to you. You'll come back, right?
I'll come back whenever you want, my dear.
Okay. It'll be
here for you.
In 2 more years. We'll get
it. Right.
No, I definitely want to have you back. And if you're listening to this right now, send us questions. You can send them to me at Independent Stylist Podcast on Instagram. Send them there to me. And then we'll go over, I'll put some stuff in my stories. And maybe I'll send an email if you're on my email list about like, if you have specific questions about anything curl related. And I think it would be fun if we could get immediately, I'm thinking like Andy, Brianne, and like Atoya back. Mm-hmm. That would be a fun conversation. There's so many fun people that I say came up with, I don't even know if that's the right way to say it, but it's just like a good group of people. So, all right. Thank you, Crystal Levitt, curl specialist.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Jen.
All right.
It was nice. Bye-bye. I'll be back. Bye.